Welcome to Food, Farms, and Chefs radio show, where we highlight everyone from the top industry leaders to startups and farmers that make it all possible with Chef Jean Blum and photojournalist Amaris Pollock.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Food, Farms, and Chefs on this absolutely lovely Easter week. It is at this time such a great pleasure to introduce Nima, who owns and is the brainchild behind Cake Life Bake Shop in Philadelphia on Frankfort Avenue. Nima, welcome to Food, Farms, and Chefs. It's such a great honor to have you this week with us.
Thank you so much, James. It's an honor to be here.
So before we get into the bake shop, you know, there's so much I want to touch about. Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your background, your introduction to the world of pastry, your love of the world of pastry, kind of what, you know, what got you to thinking, wow, I'm going to open up a bake shop, I'm going to open up a pastry shop, and from there?
Well, that's a great question with kind of a long answer. I actually, you know, was always very interested in cooking and culinary from when I was young, and was always kind of fascinated with learning new dishes. And when I was, I am one of those weird kids that graduated from school early, did a lot of volunteering and whatnot, and ended up going to culinary school at that time. My dad was basically begging me to go back to some kind of school. And I think half in spite, half just because I, you know, it's what I really wanted to do, I said, fine, culinary school. And I went, I loved it. It was super challenging, kind of just what I needed at that age. And, you know, that followed with, you know, catering illegally out of my house for a few years and working at a few restaurants and stuff like that. Eventually, all my friends who were quite a bit older than me were graduating from college and starting careers. And I knew that I wasn't really drawn to the service industry kind of nightlife oriented lifestyle. Like I, you know, was seeing a lot of people around me kind of in that world, you know, struggle with substances and stuff like that. And I was just like, you know what, like maybe this isn't for me. And I decided to go to a more conventional school. So I went and got a bachelor's degree, you know, studied film theory primarily. And after that, I was working in nonprofit arts publishing, of all things. And yeah, did that for 3 or 4 years and quickly kind of learned that this was a thing I needed to do for love more than anything else. And I realized in turn that I was getting more fulfillment out of cooking for my colleagues than the actual work we were doing. And I was really kind of drawn to working with my hands again. And so I decided that, you know, it was time for a return to culinary, this time kind of in my 20s as more of an adult, more of an intentional thing. And I, you know, wanted to grow my skill set and not just kind of repeat stuff I had done before. So, and, you know, working as an editor for a while too, I felt I had really honed my type A personality traits. So I thought, you know, maybe pastry is actually a good way for me to go. And, you know, so I went to pastry school at that time and I loved it, super into it. And yeah, so that's sort of what brought me there.
Well, one of the things that stands out for me, and as embarrassing as it is, I have not been to your bake shop, but I need to change that real soon. Going through and doing the research on you and you know, looking up not only your website, but other information, when you talked about doing a labor of love, that just is everywhere in what you do. The personalization of your products, the love, the care, the selection of the ingredients, the time you put into it, there's no shortcuts. Everything you do is very much, you know, done with a labor of love and with this idea that carries over through your website and your products, that your baked goods takes you to someplace special. And it's all about not only just rewarding the simple day-to-day things, but the grand accomplishments as well. You do both. And I think listening to what you just said, it all makes such sense coming out of the nonprofit world and being in a different mindset for a while and graduating early and all those life lessons in your volunteerism, that now I come listening to that to a complete circle and saying, wow, okay, makes 100% sense. Like, I get this. And now for me, it's even more exciting as someone who did the research, because I see where all this came from, and I'm more, even more enthusiastic to come and see what makes your product special.
Yeah, I mean, please come visit us sometime over in Fishtown. I will make it rain pastries on you, Gene. But yeah, we really, my business partner, Lily Fisher, and myself, like, we you know, created Cake Life together, and we both just get so much fulfillment out of feeding people. And the, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, however we grow as a business, that that still comes through with everything we make. It's really, you know, we have become sort of very aware of the fact that, like, as producers of pastry, there's a difference between that and cooking in a restaurant in a lot of ways, because people really punctuate their lives with pastry. You know, you become, you know, we often joke that we specialize in emotional eating. But it's true, whether, you know, good moments and tough ones, you know, small victories and big ones, like, people mark those events with pastry. And, you know, you really have this opportunity to become part of the fabric of people's lives. And it's a really special thing in that way.
Well, and you do know how to mark those moments. I mean, you know, for our listeners out there who may not know, we are speaking with the brainchild behind not one, but two of Beyonce's birthday cakes in her life. So marking special moments is certainly, you know, something about, and obviously being able to get a reach out from such a megastar to say, hey, you know, would you be willing to put together a birthday cake? That has to be something that's really, really, really special and a wonderful moment in your career. But you don't just say, well, that's, you know, who I am. You take that to the everyday little person that's working day to day and needing to celebrate a life moment. And you really bring who you are and the hardships and the work and the effort that you put forth into that. So congratulations on that. But tell our listeners what it's like to get that email or phone call.
Yeah, it was one of those things where for us, it has always been a dream, no joke, to bake for Beyonce specifically. Like, they're like early in the business and our formation and kind of early growth, whenever people would ask Lily, like, what is your dream for Cake Life? Her answer every single time was to bake for Beyonce. And, you know, I told her when we got sort of the email and we figured out what was happening, I was like, you lit the right manifestation candle today, you know, because like we're actualizing dreams here. But yeah, we got an email just saying, you know, can you make a custom cake in 2 weeks that is, you know, fantastic and beautiful in all these ways? They said black gold. Lots of bees and crowns were the main motifs, and they never mentioned the name Beyonce ever. But we, you know, we noticed just from the thematic elements that, you know, there was a possibility there, and that it was, you know, they wanted this cake delivered backstage to the Made in America concert, you know, on what we knew to be her birthday already. And the email came from Sean Carter Productions. And so we were like, sure, you know, ding, 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 for all the reasons. Like, we see what's going on here, and, you know, just like got ready to knock it out of the park as much as we possibly could.
Well, what a wonderful experience. I have in my career done a lot of backstage catering. And I was last year was down doing some of the special meals for Beyonce and the crew down at Lincoln Financial Center. So I know that, you know, while, yes, I'm taking on a job and this is what I'm doing, it is kind of special to say, hey, you know, this is who that's for. So, you know, when you're down there and you're doing that, and of all the chefs that the you know, the backstage caterer could handle. He says, you know, can you do this or can you do that? It's kind of a really, really unique, feeling. So, you know, it's kudos to you for that. And then it goes around and you get a second opportunity. So, you know, that's,
we were really thrilled with how it turned out, because between the two birthdays, Beyonce actually got both our most expensive custom cake we've ever made. And, you know, for the second time, she actually got, you know, our funfetti cake, which we have every day and make all the time. And so it's like our most accessible cake, you know, and, you know, I just, and especially that one kind of means the most to me, because she got the same funfetti cake as any of our customers would get coming into the shop. And it meant so much that, you know, it was appreciated in that way and on that kind of level. And, you know, over the years, like we baked for her all together three times, just twice for her birthday. And, you know, we bring a lot of treats alongside the cake when we do. So it's been, you know, just really nice to know that the same stuff we're making for our customers, you know, is worthy of someone like Beyonce.
I, you know, I'm honored and flattered to, you know, be talking about that with you, because it truly does say a lot. And what you just described there is, you know, just picking someone, this is what they're doing on a day to day, and the cake that you're providing every day. Now let's talk a little bit about your products. I mean, so actually, before we do that, I want to talk about something that drew an emotional response to me. As a father of five very distinct personality children, one of the things that I read today looking through your website was that baking naturally overlaps with the queer experience. It's informed by infinite layers of hardships, triumph, pain, love, and pride. And I will tell you, reading that almost brought me to tears. Because I, as you know, a straight man, but raising five children, I feel everything you described there. And pastry is that. Pastry is such a process, and it's such hardship to do perfect. And it's, you know, in culinary, we get to be very creative and we get to do that. And in pastry, you get to do that as well. But you also have to be so focused on every minute detail, or the product, no matter how good you make it look, is not going to be good. And that just resonated with me. So I just wanted to share that with you. And you know, everything that you have out there in the pastry world is such a, you know, reflection of you. And, you know, in our last 5 minutes that we have here, I want to talk about some of the things that you guys do. You're not just a pastry shop. You guys work with doing team building events where people can come in and as a group and decorate cakes. But you obviously do those special moments like wedding cakes and corporate and gifts and giving. And now for Easter, you have some of the most amazing looking pastries, the Lambie cakes. And I have to tell you, I looked at your fresh berry tart. And I'm like, oh, okay. Do I need to rethink my Easter menu here? You know, and then your quiches, the asparagus, vidalia, onion, and goat cheese quiche, just the description and then looking at the picture, it's like, that should be on everyone's table Easter morning. I mean, and finally, but not, you know, least is your dulce leche cheesecake, which this is just, folks, ladies and gentlemen, like 4 out of 20 different items you can get for Easter from, you know, Cake Life Bake Shop, but the ones I recommend. So what is your favorite besides the confetti cake? What do you really like turning people on to?
You know, that my answer to that changes depending on the week, because it's like there's so much, like I'm proud of everything we make in the shop, and it's, you know, there are just like certain things that kind of capture me for like a week at a time, where like I have like roving favorites kind of thing. You know, right now, like on the Easter menu, especially, like the quiche is amazing. The Lambie cakes, though, I think are really special to both Lily and I. They're, you know, I think they're so traditional and such a, you know, part of people's, you know, Easter routines a lot of times with their families. Like a lot of people have, you know, a grandparent who makes them. And part of what we realize too is that most of the time they look terrifying. Like they're adorable, but also scary often. And so it was really important to us to make them as beautiful to look at as they are to eat. And so, you know, we're really proud of how they turned out. We think they look, you know, fantastic, but we're just as proud of how they taste. And so I've really sort of been trying to forward those for Easter. But yeah, just in general, like I, you know, for a while we, you know, we had been serving these giant chocolate chip walnut cookies, and we had sort of messed around with like downsizing them. And we recently decided to upsize them again. And there is something about a mammoth, you know, beautifully made cookie with like, you know, some fleur de sel and some good quality, you know, butter and the, you know, several different kinds of chocolate. Like it just, you know, hits me right, I have to say. I also tend to be more fruit oriented rather than chocolate or even traditional cakes. So yeah, I'm very excited that the that fruit tart has made its way back onto the Easter list, and I'm looking forward to the summer and getting all of the region's bounty out there for everybody.
And we do have that. We have so many good things. So in our last minute and 10 seconds, tell our listeners where they can find out about your amazing products, where you're located in Philadelphia, obviously on Frankfort Avenue, where they can find out more about your journey and your successes and what you're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, our website is a great place to learn more about us, just who are we and what are our values and priorities. So cakelifebakeshop.com, that'll certainly, you know, introduce us, I think, really well to everyone. We're also on Instagram. It's at cakelifebakeshop is our handle. And that's a great way just to see like what's baking right now, what's baking current. And, you know, we try to post a lot of stories to let people know kind of just like what delicious thing they might encounter if they visit the shop today. But yeah, we're also on Uber Eats and Grubhub. So if you just want to stay home and order in, you have an option. But if you want to come over to Fishtown, we are at the corner of Frankfort and Thompson. So one block north of Girard on Frankfort Avenue. There's a big, beautiful transmural, and we're on the other side of it.
Yes, yes, I know the location. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Easter. I cannot wait to stop in and try some of your amazing pastries. I have a big sweet tooth, so I'm looking forward to it a lot. And much success and a great Easter season to you. Thank you for joining us on Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you, Gene. Looking forward to meeting you in person sometime.
Thank you very much. Tyler?
Thank you, Nima. Thank you, Gene. And we'll be right back after this short break.
To become a sponsor of Food Farms and Chefs and have your business or event promoted on two radio stations in Philadelphia that play on Tuesdays during Drive Time Radio and on a station in New York on Fridays at 1 p.m., you can email us at foodfarmsandchefs@yahoo.com, ibfoodie2@yahoo.com, or arpolicus@gmail.com.
Welcome back, and at this time it is an absolute honor to introduce someone everyone in the Philadelphia region and in the nation knows, from Bravo's Top Chef, finalist, two-time All-Star, Philly Magazine's Best New Chef, Eater's Best New Restaurant, and Chef of the Year, just an amazingly uber-talented chef and woman leader, Chef Jen Carroll. Jen, welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on.
Well, it is certainly our honor to have you. There's just so much that could be talked about. But I think first and foremost, finding out a little bit about how you got into the world of cooking and what was your motivation and what was that kickstart that said, wow, I'm going to be the chef I am someday?
Well, For me, growing up, I have a large family with a ton of cousins, and my mom's side, my grandmom lived around the corner from me in up in Northeast Philadelphia. And then on every street for six blocks, there was a different aunt or uncle with other cousins. And so every week, every Sunday, we would gather at my grandmom's after church and we would have a massive Sunday dinner. And for some reason, I always found myself fascinated with what my grandmom was doing and was more interested in being in the kitchen helping her instead of out playing tag or, you know, hide and go seek or whatever it was in the neighborhood causing trouble. And it just was this crazy thing that I always gravitated towards, especially even like when my mom was making holiday meals and pies and things like that. I just always wanted to get in there and get my hands dirty. And I definitely was, you know, I have two sisters. I wanted to watch Julia Child and Yonkin Cook and the Galloping Gourmet and all of the early Food Network shows. When I was growing up, I was obsessed with them. I did not want to watch, you know, Sesame Street or cartoons or anything like that. I just continually like gravitated towards it. And my first jobs as a like young high school girl, I was working on the Ocean City Boardwalk at Bob's Lemonade, making funnel cake and French fries, and then got pulled into like the restaurant, the Italian restaurant, where I was a waitress, but then also making pizzas and the counter girl. And I loved the whole atmosphere. I loved the energy that is in restaurants. I loved the bonding that happens between all of your colleagues. I loved having like that really like energetic stress, like it needs to be done, like deadline day of. I liked that environment a lot. And that just was very appealing to me. I did go to college for free law and criminal justice, though, because I thought that was the path I was going to take. And after 3 years of college, I decided that I was going to stop and go to culinary school here in Philadelphia. And I applied to the restaurant school without telling my parents. And did all of the paperwork and, you know, switched everything over. And then about a week before I was supposed to go back to St. Joe's, I told my mom that I was going to the restaurant school. Well, it was not a happy night for me in the house. And, you know, at first my parents really didn't understand. My mom was very supportive because she just wanted me to follow my dreams and do whatever I wanted. And my dad was definitely more wary. But as the years have gone by, they are very happy with what my choice was.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, certainly you've probably gone on to become, you know, Northeast Philadelphia's most known chef, as well as, you know, probably the most known graduate from the restaurant school in Philadelphia. And you attended the restaurant school at, you know, the right moment when they had an amazing team. And, you know, like any school or any college, you know, professors come and go, instructors come and go, and, you know, you can have peaks and valleys, and you were there at that right time to have some, you know, amazing influencers in your and mentors in your career. And look at where you became, you know, and what you've gone on to do. And now, most importantly, the amazing brand that you have created in, you know, Carol Couture Cuisine, you know, what you're doing with that whole program. And it's more than just, you know, cooking classes or demonstrations. I mean, you are doing, you know, brand partnership programming. You're doing team building events. You're doing, you know, classes, private dinners for the who's who in the nation. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your current endeavor and how it's coming along and where you see it going.
Well, Carol Couture Cuisine originally started because I needed a business to, you know, take care of all of my appearances I was doing after Top Chef, and I needed something separate than my job at the moment. And it has morphed into this monster experience company that has like changed and, you know, pivoted over the years from doing large events with like weddings and baby showers and things like that into now a really more intimate, high-end, exclusive company where I'm hosting these experiences where I really truly get to bond and to talk with my clients and my guests that are coming in. So for instance, you know, like the dinner at Jen's that I have every single month in my studio here in Fishtown, where we sell tickets to and they sell out immediately, has been a really fun dinner series for me, where we do a different theme every single month with different menus and drinks and all of the fun stuff that comes along with it. So that's one of the things. But then doing dinners that are privately and custom made custom for each client, both in my studio and in their homes, whether it's here in Philadelphia, out on the main line, or as far away as California, Costa Rica, wherever that my client would like me to come and cook, I'm doing it with my team. And that has also given me the time to do, you know, really fun team building things, to be a part of different speaking panels and to talk as a leader, or to talk on restaurant grit and industry, being a woman in the industry. I've done so many different things with it. And I have brand partnerships. Like, for instance, I worked with FanDuel and with McCain and with Nestle and lots of different things, some in front of the public and some behind the scenes, where I've been able to either, you know, come up with a recipe development, future for things in the future, but also to do just simple, like, you know, reels on social media. And with all of these things, we've been building and building new and different experiences. We're getting ready to drop a whole new experience where I'll be doing food journeys throughout Fishtown and stopping at some of my favorite places throughout the city. And having that to be a whole new experience tacked on to what we already do. And with my classes, hands-on classes, I also do virtual classes. And what I call my cooking community of my digital restaurant is my Patreon space, which is a membership platform where people can come in and, you know, join on whatever plan they want. There's multiple different options, and I have a spice club associated with that, that each month a new spice brought up by like me. I pick all these different spices and I blend them and curate them, and I send them out each month and do a class with it. And then I get into teaching recipes, and I do tons of different recipes for it to show everybody how easy it is to cook at home. Because one of the things that I really love, I love people. I love cooking for people, but I also love teaching people and having them to be able to cook at home for themselves. So I wear many different hats. I do lots of different experiences, and pretty much I don't say no to many different experiences, because it's something that's been fun for me to able to change and pivot throughout the years.
You know, that's something I hear often when I speak with the best of the best in the industry, is I don't say no. I take something, it's an opportunity, and it may be out of my wheelhouse or it may be different, but I embrace it and I dive head in. And you have certainly done that, and it's shown through your entire career. As you know, somebody who has done many of the same things you've done, obviously less high profile, but you know, has taught culinary, has done classes, has done food tours, has done all that many years when you were still a little child. You know, I look back now and I feel so comforted that you exist out there and that you're the next thing. And then as a father of four daughters, two of which are in this industry, you know, I feel so relieved that there's mentors like you out there, people. And that's so much of what you're doing, you know, with your business and your team, and you are a mentor and a role model. And, you know, obviously now your online classes that are teaching things for Pantheon, that's a whole new realm. And that's really thinking outside the box. And it just says so much about who you are and the passion that got you to be, you know, a two-time all-star on Bravo's Top Chef, which, you know, people talk about, well, it's just a food show. Really try it sometime. You know, the competition is amazing. Right. So, you know, it's not there. Which leads me to the next question, or the next part of the segment, because we could talk hours and hours about what you're doing as a role model and other things you're doing. But you are the co-founder of the Sisterly Love Foundation, which is, you know, in short, a mentorship program. And then, you know, the long story, I'd probably have to go for hours and hours to talk about it. But tell our listeners what that program is and what you're doing with it and how important it is to this industry.
Sure. So the Sisterly Love Collective was founded by myself, Ellen Yin, Jill Weber, and Sophia DeLeon came on later on, a little bit later after we had started it as one of our co-chairs. And we started it out of the pandemic as a need and a necessity to be with each other, with other women, to network, to give advice, to learn from, and to really lean on. And it has morphed into what we were all missing in our lives and in our careers as we were upcoming in the industry. So for me as a chef, I didn't have, you know, many women role models or mentors to teach and to guide me and to walk me through and talk me through tough situations that you come up against as a female in the industry every single day. Now, it has gotten better over the years, but that's because of, you know, groups like myself with the Sisterly Love Collective and being available for mentorship. And it's not just only about mentorship and teaching women how to handle tough situations, but it's about, you know, professionalization and empowerment and giving the tools that are needed to grow your business, to, you know, find out how to get financial stability, how to get a loan, all of those things that are missing. And, you know, just having that extra hand out to pull others, to pull other women up onto the level that I already am on has been really, really important. You know, just for instance, of being able to get in front of a TV camera, you know, local news, getting an interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer, things like that. The four of us have been able to, you know, take our power and pass on all of these PR opportunities and shine the spotlight on so many other women that really, truly need it here in the city of Philadelphia to get them seen and to get them known and to really get guests out and excited about them and their food. And that has been really awesome for us. We do all of these amazing programs throughout the year, from happy hours with educational pieces to a whole cookbooks and combo series, which we kicked off last year, which was a 30-day event with 30 women authors from across the country coming in and partnering with 30 of our Sisterly Love members doing either readings, demos, dinners, so on and so forth. And we just continue to grow and to give back to our community in the ways that is truly needed to empower us all and to be stronger together.
I applaud you so much for that. And you know, knowing all the member, the four founding members of it, or three, and I can honestly say Ellen is my favorite chef in the city of Philadelphia, and has been for many, many, many years. And you know, just an absolute role model to me as a chef and as a business person and as a community leader. So, you know, speaking with you is so well, you're wonderful on that, you know, part of it all. You know, doing what you do, and your cookbook, your series that you started last year with 30 Days was a huge success. And, you know, it's kind of, I grew up in an era where, you know, the cook in the book was founded, and it was a big thing in the first couple of years, and then it became something that wasn't as popular. But you took that to a whole new level now, because now you're taking these great authors and these great chefs and these great cookbooks and these great books, and you're combining it with, you know, education and mentorship and empowerment. And, you know, you're showing that people often feel that, you know, they're out on that island, that they're not. And, you know, thank you for doing that, because without the women chefs in the city of Philadelphia, it'd be a very barren restaurant scene. So, so many great female chefs who are not sitting. Yeah. You know, and I, you know, as I said, you know, I tell people all the time, it's very true. Whatever you give a woman, she comes back with something better. You know, you give her food, she makes a meal, you know, it's just everything you give her, you know, it just comes out better. And where would we be without all of you? So it would be a very big scene. So in the next minute and a half that we have, two things I want to touch on. One, where can our listeners certainly find you and get in touch with you if they want to book one of your experiences? And two, is there anything new?
So to get in touch with me and to find out anything about me, you can follow me on social media. My handle is the same across all different platforms, from Instagram to X to TikTok. It is Chef Jen Carroll, ChefJenCarroll. You can also go to my website, which is eatccc.com. That is EATCCC.com. And it has all of my things there. I am in the process of updating my website. So within, you know, maybe the next month or two, we'll see a new platform, but it is getting ready to launch and to come out. And I briefly mentioned the new experience that I'm getting ready to launch, which is the Food Journeys. We'll be launching probably in May or June. So stay tuned for that. And everybody can join my newsletter to find out exactly what I'm doing and to stay up to date with everything. And if you want better access to me, become a patron, join my cooking community, and let's talk and share photos and recipes and all of that stuff there.
Chef, we can talk for hours and hours and hours, both, you know, mutual experiences and people we know, and obviously, you know, the great honors that you've had and what you've done for the city of Philadelphia. Appreciate you to a level I don't even know if you understand because of what you've done for the city, the culinary community here. Thank you. It's an honor to speak with you, and we look forward to having you back again on Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you. And get your daughters involved with Sisterly Love Collective, huh?
I'm going to be reaching out to one of them right after we get off the call, because she too loves Ellen and, you know, has, it's always one of her favorite restaurants to go down. But look forward to it.
Well, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chef.
Thank you, chefs. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Join us on Food Farms and Chefs radio show, where we highlight everyone from top industry leaders to startups and the farmers who make it all possible, with co-hosts Gene Blum and Amaris Pollock, with original episodes that debut every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WWDB 97.5 HD2 and at WWDBAM.com and on your smart speaker.
And welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs, everyone. At this time, it is a great honor to introduce Chef Christiana Grease, who is the chef and owner of Manny Vibes in Norwood, Delaware County. Chef, welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. Truly, a dream come true.
So before we get into the restaurant, let's find out a little bit about you. Obviously, you know, you were not the normal cartoon watching child growing up. You know, you had a passion for food and learning about, you know, your culture and the food of your culture and other foods as well. So really, what was your start, or, you know, your early interest, and who were your mentors, you know, that got you so deep into food?
So my story is pretty funny. I actually grew up where my mom didn't like to cook at all, really. My mom was a single mom. Unfortunately, me and my brother, our father was murdered when we were kids, and my mom was working and in school all the time. But there was my grandmother on my dad's side of my family, who she had migrated here from Colombia, and she cooked with all this love. And every time she would make food, I would ask her, like, why is it so good? And she would say, the secret ingredient is love. And from there, she gave me a plastic knife. She started helping me, you know, cut. I would learn how to cut tomatoes and different things with her. And I created a passion for food at a very young age. And I told her one day, playing with Play-Doh, as I put the little white sheet on the table, I would say, I'm going to open up a restaurant one day, and I want you to be there. I made that happen, which is amazing. She just turned 80. So she was there when I got to open up Manny Vibes, which is amazing. And what's crazy is I've always grown up watching the TV channels and loving food, and that passion that connected me with my grandmother and the Colombian culture and stuff like that. And growing up in South Philly, you know, I kind of got tired of cheesesteaks because I lived right down the street from Pat's and Gino's and the Italian Mart. And then I seen it change with the vibe. And now there's such a Mexican flair in there. And I actually went to the military. I was in the military after I graduated high school. And I always wanted to go to culinary school, but I was really good in school. And my mom was kind of like, hey, you know, one day you should have somebody cooking for you. And I thought about that. And I said, you know, yeah, of course, I would love to make it there, you know, economically one day. And so I decided to go to school for art and marketing. I was always very artistic. I got a lot of different classes and stuff when I was in high school for interior design. I went to Moore College for interior design, fashion design, you name it, figure drawing, cartooning. I did it. And I was trying to figure out how to make a living without it being the, you know, the tedious part of cooking, because my mom said, you know, you should have someone cook for you. But this was coming from someone who didn't like to cook. So I went to the military to kind of figure it out. And I was in a signal satellite support specialist in the United States Army. That was back in 2008. And I had my son in 2010, Jacob. He's now 14 years old. And that kind of shifted me out of the military. And when I came back to Philly, I decided it was time for me to go to school for what I really wanted to do. And that was culinary. So I talked to my mom. I said, hey, you know, I have a support system here. Can I go back to school? She said, absolutely. Do what you really want to do. You know, like really do what you want to do. And I went to the Art Institute of Philadelphia for culinary arts. And I got my degree there, but luckily enough, before they closed down, because they're not there anymore. And from there, my career went really, really fast. Honestly, I met my husband in 2015 when I was just getting out of college. It was actually during my last semesters and I needed an internship for school. And he had worked for Catering by Design, which is up in Mount Airy. And he said, yeah, maybe I'll talk to the chef. Next thing you know, I was prepping in a catering chef, you know, for a catering company, cutting loads of cases of butternut squash, getting blisters. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is the field for me. I was still in culinary school at the time, but I kept at it. And from there, next thing you know, I had become, you know, a supervising chef of weddings, and it was an off-premise catering company. But with catering, it was seasonal. And as a mom, I was looking for something that was more steady in income and all year long. So that worked out. I was actually there for like 5 years, you know. And while I was doing that job, I also worked with Jamie Hollander, catering with them. And then I got a job part-time at Thomas Jefferson Hospital as a sous chef for their first healthy food truck called Nourished. And there I learned a lot of hands-on. I learned how to run a food truck. I learned the cash handling portion. I also learned with the catering company, they had a little bakery in Michener Museum in Doylestown. So I used to run the cashier, make the salads, make the sandwiches, and deliver it to the guests. So when I opened Manny Vibes, I kind of had the idea that me and my sister could pull this off on our own. And really quickly, we found out we couldn't. But it's pretty funny because throughout my journey and my career, sometimes I stand in my restaurant. I can't believe, you know, God guided me through it the whole entire way, because I learned all the skill sets throughout all my positions through my jobs. So back at the catering company, you know, I got the second job at Thomas Jefferson Hospital. And I went to the director there one time and I told him that I think that it's not really making that much money. And I kind of pitched him some of my ideas. And then he recommended me an executive chef position at Children's Hospital with Aramark. So I found my way there in around 2016. Almost 17. So it was really fast. And I learned a lot, but Aramark wasn't really for me. The food was a little bit different for me, and I needed something a little more out of the hospital scene. So I started looking, and then I found a position, an operations manager position for Iron Chef Jose Garces at his location called Buena Onda, which happens to mean good vibes. It's called Good Vibes, which is kind of where I got inspired by Manny Vibes. When I worked there, we happened to need a front of the house supervisor, and my brother happened to be looking for a job that worked out in the same schedule for him. So he started working for me, and I feel really bad now because I put on a show. I didn't let any, even though we had the same last name, I didn't let anyone know he's my brother because I was very played by the books. You know, I was playing fair. You're getting compensated fairly. I'm expecting the same, you know, standards as everyone else. But as he started working with me, this is the first time me and my brother got to work together in the hospitality industry. But we always had the dream of having a business together and running one because my brother was very charismatic and good with people. And I was more of an introvert and like to be like back of the house, which is kind of the way chefs like to be a little bit, you know, and just creating our art and being kind of left in our world. But he connected with the whole world. And so from there, I worked with him at Buena Onda, and we made that place so magical. Like, it was so much fun. Sometimes we would have call outs and I would be in the back, you know, pushing out all the dishes. My brother would be in the front pushing out all the margaritas and ringing everybody up. And we'd, you know, high five each other at the end of the night. And we couldn't believe that we did it, you know, and we started to realize that we were able to learn how to manage this business. We showed up to the meetings together. We helped them franchise that place, you know, build the franchising packet to Buena Onda. So I learned so much. And there was a point in time my brother would tell me, like, Chris, you can do this. We should just do this on our own. You know, you have these great ideas. You're doing it. You're just doing it for somebody else. Do it for yourself. And I always said I didn't have enough money. It's not the right time. It's not the right place. You know, that was the biggest fear. Everyone's like, location, location, location. And for the longest time, my grandmother would tell me, if your food's good, they will find you no matter where you are. But again, it's just that fear. And then having, you know, my son already, and it was just never the right time. So I then was there at Buena Onda, and we were making it happen. And at a certain point of time, I ended up getting offered a general manager position for OTG management at the Philadelphia airport. And there I kind of took myself out of the role of really managing the back of the house. And I learned overall finances. I learned how to manage all of the liquor and beverage and all of that, because I had no idea what I was doing. I never seen half the bottles I had to be in charge of when it came there. But it let me learn a lot. And then unfortunately, COVID happened. So I was home, and then I ended up having two beautiful boys. So I have Joseph and Joshua, who's going to be 3 and 2. So I have now a 14-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And those two go next door to Manny Vibes. And that's how I found the location. It just all worked out. It was, I lived down the street. I happened to move into Norwood about 4 years ago. And I fell in love with this place. I fell in love with how small, close it is, the beautiful park, how you can really only get in and out, you know, certain ways, and the neighborhood and everybody and the feeling in here. And I realized as I was pushing my kids around in the stroller, there was nowhere really to go for breakfast other than Dunkin' Donuts that was really close by. And then when I seen the for rent sign on the location we're at now, I called and I said, you know what, if I don't do this now, I know it sounds crazy, I got these small kids, but the daycare's next door. And if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And I literally found the place in May and we opened in August. By the grace of God, I woke up and I got inspired by the entire menu from my brother. My brother was 2.5 years older than me. He was my best friend and he inspired me throughout my entire life and encouraged me that I was able to do absolutely everything. And after we did absolutely everything for somebody else at a restaurant, I figured I think we can do it again. It's just a little bit of a different dynamic this time around, because at one point I didn't even want to go near the hospitality industry. It was too hard. It was too saddening to me. And then I realized that that's the most beautiful memories I had with him. So I'm going to embrace it and I'm going to share it with the world. One of his last text messages to me was Wednesday. The next party because we always did family gatherings. It actually ended up being the day that I had to plan his funeral. But I try to look at it in a brighter note because literally when you have a restaurant, especially when you're first starting, you feel like you're getting ready for a party of for people who you don't know what they're going to order. you don't know when they're going to come, if they're going to come at all, what they're going to order, you know, and it feels like a party that never ends. And so that's the mentality that I go in every single day, and I get super excited because I'm here to dish out what my brother gave to me my whole life, a lot of love. And so I want people to come in and feel really good. I want the atmosphere to feel really good. I want it to be a casual experience. So you come up to the counter, you order your food, you go sit down, and then the food comes out to you. When it does, usually people's experience is, wow, this looks nice, because it's supposed to be fast, casual dining with an elevated experience. You know, like you're supposed to feel good when you go out to eat, even if it's a hamburger or some tacos or whatever. But the point is you're paying for the experience. So that's what Manny Vibes is about. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling, but I think we covered a lot.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Actually, it was a great story. Probably one of the easiest interviews I've ever had to do in my life so far. And we're down to about 3.5 minutes. So, and it's funny because we could talk on and on and on, and our paths have crossed. I used to do some hired gun work on very large events for Dan and Peter Loeb out at Catering by Design. I worked with Dan Love for many, many, many years, and still call him a friend, our paths have certainly crossed, and many of the places you've wandered around, I have touched base with or known them. But one of the things, and in the last 3 minutes that we have here, I want to talk about is, you know, your accent on your Latin roots and your brother's roots. I mean, some of the ideas on your menu, and you are strictly a breakfast and lunch place, and I want to emphasize that. But, like, I fell in love with, like, the idea of your breakfast taco trio and your breakfast fried rice. And then when I came around and I looked at your burger, which is a combination of ground chorizo and ground beef as well, and the flavor profiles that you bring out, that, you know, you talk about, like your grandmother spoke about, love, bringing love into everything. And that's so prevalent in your menu as well. And you give so many cool nods to your upbringing in Philadelphia. And I don't even know if you realize you do that, but, you know, obviously you have, you know, the breakfast cheesesteak, you know, going on, but even, you know, the mom's cutlet sandwich, which is, you know, kind of a nod to Philadelphia, the cutlet, but you do it with, you know, such a different way, and with the, you know, the lettuce, tomato, onion, and a pickle on there, and then a great little sauce to go with it. So the creativity in your menu, and now you're bringing that to Delaware County, and you're bringing that to an area where everybody says, if it's not Swarthmore and it's not Media, it probably shouldn't be worth going to. And you are breaking that trend. So kudos to you for what you're doing there. So in our last minute and a half, tell our listeners exactly where to find you, why they must come down to you, and where to follow you on social media.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so sorry I rambled so long. So you can find us at 11 East Winona Avenue in Norwood, PA, 19074. We're here Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And on the weekends, we're here 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Closed Mondays, I need one day to relax. And the reason why you should come out to Manny Vibes is we serve up brotherly love, like you were saying. The entire menu is a lot of fun for me. The whole one section is the BYOB, the build your own breakfast section. You can pick your protein and create the kind of breakfast that you really want to eat, and then not really ever get bored of it just by switching up your protein. So if you want scrapple and you're tired of having eggs, potatoes, and toast, have a scrapple fried rice, have some scrapple breakfast tacos or a breakfast burrito. The idea behind my menu of it is many different things, you know, a play on many different things. My whole life, people said, hey, Chris, you want to open up a restaurant? What kind of restaurant? And I didn't know how to answer that because I wanted to showcase all the things I like to cook. And that's what our menu is all about. You're going to find things, you know, all different kinds of cuisines. And that's the whole point, you know, to be able to serve your kids when they come in, down to other enthusiasts. And it's funny you mentioned our location is someone's told me before that we don't belong here. And I didn't even know what that meant. And I'm just here to bring what we need in this area, which is good food and a lot of love. And I want to keep it going. We survived a fire back in January. And I appreciate the community supporting us in that, because if it wasn't for them and the Be the Joy Foundation, we wouldn't have been able to repurchase our equipment after our kitchen fire. So thank you, Chef, so much. And please definitely come out. Yes, you can check us out on Manny Vibes. LLC. There you go.
We look forward to it, Chef. Thank you so much. You've been a great pleasure to have. Thank our listeners, everyone. Have a great Easter. And we look forward to talking to you after the holiday.
Thank you, everyone. Amherst and Gene will be back next week for another exciting episode on Food, Farms, and Chefs. So tune in every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on WPEN and WWDB, and in New York on WMLD at 1 p.m. And we here at Food, Farms, and Chefs wish you a wonderful Easter Sunday.
To listen to the rest of Food, Farms, and Chefs, tune your HD radio to 97.5 WPEN HD2 or stream live from WWDBAM.com.